right, we have a couple specials for you tonight. I know Josh and Travis are going to sing for you, and then Josh is going to sing, and then Miss Lydia is going to sing, and then Brother Brian's going to preach, and we're just going to leave tonight whenever God's done. All right, so don't worry about the clock. We took batteries out of it anyway, so a lot of us are saying, man, what time is this preacher done? Well, we get done around here when God's done, and so let me just encourage you just to open your heart tonight. Let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. How many of you, any new people here tonight, never heard Brother Brian preach before? You never heard Brother Brian preach? Wow, you got an audience tonight that's never heard you preach. And there's some ahead that actually came back tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm just teasing. He's a great preacher. He's a dear friend. I sure love him. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store tonight. But Josh and Travis, you go ahead and come and sing. And then I think Josh is going to sing. And then Miss Lydia, you sing till you tell her to stop. And then that way you'll know what to preach.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me. And He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearn to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I could tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
All want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will count for nothing. Time will erase whate'er we do. I want my life Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth? Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. He walked along the shores of Galilee. From clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. When stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Jesus came to set the captives free, showed us by the way he lived, the way we need to be. Oh, love is more than words could ever say. We must touch them with compassion to help them find their way. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? Could we be so busy being saved, trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way? We pride ourselves in being set apart, yet we don't have time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we take the risk involved in always being there? Oh, we hold the very thing they need so much. Sometimes the word of life can pass through just a simple touch. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch. We hide behind these walls and the security of friends, while behind the stained glass windows, the world is lost in sin. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch?
Honey, just keep playing. You know, it's not all about you. You know, the reason why this church is here, it's not about you, it's not about me. But it's about a broken world that's out there tonight. See, this is not a museum. This is a hospital. Amen. This is a place where people can get their lives fixed. Amen. That's what the church is all about. You know, I wonder tonight, does God touch your heart about people tonight? About people. That's what this revival is all about. Amen. This revival night is not, it's not about us and what we're going to get out of this tonight. But I'll tell you what it's about. It's about that little boy out there tonight that doesn't have a mama or don't have a daddy. He's got a messed up life, messed up family tonight. It's about that mom's up there at the RU home tonight. It's about that guy that's ready to take his life tonight that needs the Lord. All they need is somebody that cares. Amen. All they need is somebody that's willing to love them tonight. And folks, you can say what you want to say. We don't live down in Charlotte. We live in Salisbury, but Salisbury's in a mess tonight. Rowan County's in a mess. I know my sister and brother-in-law work for the sheriff's department, and they said they've never seen the county as bad off as it is now. Kannapolis is in a mess. Concord's in a mess. Concord and all that's like Charlotte now. It's come this way. But I wonder tonight, do you care? Do you even care? Sing, honey, is there. Listen to these words tonight. And might the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart tonight. Go ahead, honey.
Could we be so busy being saved?
We're too busy being saved tonight.
Trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way. We pride ourselves in being set apart. Yet we don't have time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we take the risk involved in always being there? Oh, we hold the very thing they need so much.
We hold it. We hold the gospel. Amen.
Sometimes the word of life can pass through just a simple touch. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch?
Amen. Just keep playing, hon. Keep playing. I don't know about you tonight, but I want the Holy Spirit to work in there tonight. Amen. I want God to work in hearts tonight. I want God to move in your heart tonight. I want God to move in my heart. Folks, I didn't come for God to do nothing. Amen. I come expecting God. Did you know God expects you to expect Him? Can I have amen? Did you know God expects you to expect Him tonight? He's expecting you to expect Him to show up tonight. Boy, when's the last time you wept over a soul? When's the last time you went out and touched a broken life? When's the last time you passed out a gospel tract? Amen. And told them Jesus loves them. When's the last time you knocked on somebody's door, looked them eyeball to eyeball, said, I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Hey, folks, look. They're not going to come where you are. They're not going to come where you are. Amen. They're not going to flock into church tonight. Folks, the woman was at the well. She wasn't in church. Amen. When Jesus passed by, hey, the eunuch was sitting in the desert. He wasn't in church. He didn't flock into church tonight. Philip went where he was. Amen. Zacchaeus was up in a tree. The jailer was at the jail. Can I have amen? He wasn't flocking in at prayer meeting time and everything else. No, sir, buddy, you got to go where they are tonight. He said, the Good Samaritan went where he was. Remember, I preached that last year. He went where he was. And then he saw him. Folks, you're not going to see him till you go where they are. As long as you sit in the church tonight and hope they show up, it ain't going to happen. Amen. Excuse my English tonight, but that's the way I talk normal anyway. Amen. Hey, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen till you go where they are. Listen, last week I won people to Christ that out soul winning, knocking doors. You know what? Not one of them showed up to church until I went and got them. Let me tell you something. They had a beautiful sign in front of that church. That sign didn't draw one of them in. Can I have amen? They had a beautiful building. Guess what? It didn't draw one sinner in. But I'll tell you what'll draw them in is when you go where they are and you look at them eyeball to eyeball, brother, and they see the compassion of God in your eyes that you care about them. And lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, tonight. This is what I'm preaching on tonight. You know why? Because my wife played it. Amen. Amen. Preacher picked on me. Amen. So, honey, just sing one stanza, one song. Think about it tonight.
He walked along the shores of Galilee. From clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. When stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Jesus came to set the captives free, showed us by the way he lived, the way we need to be. Oh, love is more than words could ever say. We must touch them with compassion to help them find their way. How can we reach a world we never touch. How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care would never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch?
Thank you, sweetheart. Take your Bibles tonight. Go to Psalms. Psalms 126. Psalms 126 tonight. And I want to say, as you're turning there, thank you, preacher, so much for letting me come. Amen. It's been a blessing. Thank you, folks, for coming tonight and visiting and being here tonight. And I'm honored that you're here tonight. I really am. And I love you tonight. I pray for this church. Pray for this church every week. I thank Brother Caldwell and pray for his family and church. And I thank you so much. Thank you for that food. Amen. Boy, we had chicken pot pie tonight. Amen. Boy, that'll make you slap your grandma so good. Amen. That was good. Amen. But we had it was delicious. Thank you for the dessert and that blueberry cheesecake. Good night, boy. I ate so much, brother. I'm full as a tick on a coon dog's ear. Amen. I'm full. Hey, you're talking about ticks. Let me give you a joke. I don't want to kill the spirit here, but let me tell a joke real quick. You heard about the Texas guy came up to see a boy in North Carolina, and he got up there in North Carolina, and they were riding in their truck, and about that time a deer crossed the road. A deer jumped across the road, and the Texas boy said, "What was that?" Carolina boy said, "Well, that was a deer." He said, "A deer?" He said, "We got deer in Texas 10 times bigger than that." So that was no bigger than a phone. Well, you know how Texas people are. They think everything bigger there. Amen. And he said, that kind of made the Carolina boy a little mad. You know what I'm saying? It kind of made him a little mad. Well, about that time, a jackrabbit jumped up and crossed the road. And the Texas guy said, "What was that?" And the Carolina boy said, "Well, that was a rabbit." He said, "Rabbit?" He said, "We got jackrabbits, Texas, 10 times bigger than that. That wasn't no bigger than a flea." Well, boy, the Carolina boy's a good man now. He's a good man. Well, about that time, a big old snapping turtle come crawling across the road. And Texas guy said, "What is that?" And the Carolina boy said, "That's a tick." Amen. 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 He got him. Amen. And you don't mess with the Carolina folks. Amen. But praise the Lord. Amen. It's a blessing. But the food was good tonight. Thank you for preparing it for us. And my wife, we appreciate it so much from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of my belly. Amen. We thank you for it. And I thank you for loving us. But I was thinking about a song. I'll get a message in a minute. When I go preach up north, them Yankees pick on me. And they pick on me because, I tell you what, that Chicago boy can sing. Amen. Brother, he be from Chicago, but he can sing. And that was a blessing. Of course, you better sing up there or they'll take your life. Amen, in Chicago. And that means you better sing for your life. Amen. That's what it means. He said, "What does that mean?" Amen. He's a little slow. Amen. But I was thinking, I've been preaching 42 years now. 42 years. And this song came to my mind, preacher. This song came to my mind. And as I was thinking about tonight, preacher, I was thinking about 42 years. What song could I describe the best song that I think what I've learned in 42 years of preaching, and it'd be this song right here, I believe. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm getting blessed by my own singing. Amen. Listen to that. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I like this last stanza. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, sing it with me. How I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. And God good. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you, I've learned to trust Him over and over, and I've seen God work over and over. Amen. And thank God for that. But I want to tonight, I want to bring a message to you tonight in Psalms 126. Verse 5 and 6, let's stretch your legs one more time in respect to the Word of God. Let's stand up tonight, if you can. And verse 5 and 6 tonight, and you know these verses, but the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you about God's great plan to reach the world. To reach the world. And I want to help you tonight. Father, I come to you tonight, and I pray that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if I ever need you, I need you tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that that every ear and every heart would be wide open to the Word of God. I pray that everybody would listen and every eye would be in attendance, Lord. There'd be no interruption. There'd be no moving around. There'd be no talking. There'd be no during the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that maybe tonight that, Lord, that you'd move in a mighty way, God, on the hearts of the people. Because, God, if there's ever a time that we need to reach the world, it's now, God. And Lord, I ask you, now you've given us a plan. You've given us the plan to reach the world right here in these two verses. So, Lord, I'm asking you now, Lord, show it to us and let us perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until you take us home. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated there. As I look at this, I see in these two verses God's great plan to reach the world. And by the way, let me just say this. Jesus instructed his disciples. He told them to evangelize the world. Hey, Jesus told them to do that. Now, wait a minute. There was only a few disciples then. Amen. And he told them, said, I want you to evangelize the world. Of course, he said in Matthew 28, verses 18, 20, he said, go ye in all the world and teach and preach the gospel. Amen. And preach the gospel. He said, in Mark 16, 15, he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Now, wait a minute. Let me just say something here. Is that what Jesus would not tell them to do something. And by the way, this is a command. This is not if you want to. Amen. It is not if you want to. It is a command. It is a command to go. Go means go. Amen. I mean, you ain't got to be a Greek scholar to know what go means. Amen. And he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Now listen, why would God tell us to go ye in all the world, preach the gospel? By the way, that verse just as much for you as it is for me and for them. Amen. Now, why would God tell you to go in all the world, preach the gospel, if it couldn't be done? Is everybody with me tonight? Why would Jesus command them to go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, if it couldn't be done? By the way, let me just stop here and say this a minute. They didn't have television. They didn't have internet. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have all the satellite systems and everywhere to get the gospel around the world. Is everybody with me? But let me tell you something. But they did a pretty good job without those things. Can I have an amen? I tell you what, they might not plugged into the internet socket, but they plugged into God. Amen. And buddy, that gospel spread across the world. Hey, you know why? Cause God had a plan. He had a plan better than I believe our plans today that we use. He told me, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now folks, God's not going to tell us to do something if it can't be done. You know, God's not wasting his breath here just to be saying something. He's telling us to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. So tonight, as I look at this, I see that if God commanded us to do this and it can be done, then why is it not being done? Why are we not evangelizing right in our own cities? Right in our own county like we should be. Can I have amen? And the reason is we don't go. Amen. We don't go. But I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But I believe what's happened is the church has largely forgotten its mission today. I believe the church has largely forgotten its mission today. You say, what are you talking about? I believe the church today is giving lesser attention to lesser things. I believe they're giving more attention to lesser things. Is everybody with me? You say, what are you talking about? I believe our churches are more concerned running their church like a corporation today. They're more interested in becoming a corporation than they are of becoming a mission house. Amen. Of reaching people with the gospel. It's more like a corporation today. They're more interested in raising money. They're more interested in building bigger buildings, nicer buildings, beautiful. Now, I'm not against nice buildings. I think you want to have a nice building. I think you want to try to keep up your building. It's God's house. Amen. You want to keep it up. But that is not the main purpose of having a nice church building. That's not the main purpose there. See, the truth of the matter is few go. Therefore, there's little church growth that happens in our churches today. The reason why, our churches are not growing, we're not going. And when you begin to go, it begins to grow. Amen. I mean, when they in the book of Acts, when they went house to house, door to door, amen, they were going. But guess what? The church exploded. It exploded. Amen. And I mean, explode everywhere. Why? Because those Christians, not only disciples, but those Christians were turning the world upside down with the gospel. And that's exactly what the church needs to be doing today. We get more interested in. See, most church growth today results from trading sheep. Did you hear what I said? Most church growth that results today is from trading sheep. I'm talking about from church to church. Oh, well, I don't like this church, so I'll go over here to this church. And all of a sudden, it's 1,000 this week. Next week, it's 50. Amen. Next year, it's 50. It's down to 50 or whatever. It's trading sheep. It's trading. That is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. You are to be out there reaching the lost tonight. And so we must get back. We must get back to God's plan. Amen. God's plan of reaching the world with the gospel. Amen. You know what? Listen. Yeah. You know, we need to get back to thinking. You know, our churches have become like a museum today. Many churches are like a museum, and they're more interested in their cantatas and their beautiful shows they put on and everything. Folks, let me tell you something. That's not what the church is about. Amen. It's not a show. It's not a Hollywood program. Amen. I'll tell you what it is. It's to be pulling people out of hell and knocking door and reaching people with the gospel. That's what your church should be tonight. Now, God gave us a plan. God gave us a plan right here in these verses how to reach the world. Right here. Four things tonight. And I want to give them to you tonight. Four things. Honey, would you open that water for me? There. And give me some water there. I need to be baptized. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Let me get this track in my pocket. And so. Good. Amen. That was good, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm ready to preach now. Amen. That was good. Now I'll let a big belch. Amen. I'm preaching. That was good. Boy, it was hot. I was thirsty. Did y'all know that? Amen. And, let me give you four things tonight. Let me give you four things that I believe that will help you tonight on reaching the world. Folks, don't you want to be a church that's reaching people for Jesus Christ? Amen. Don't you want? There is nothing that is more exciting in a church than people getting saved. I'm talking about people getting saved. Amen. Reaching people with the gospel and seeing lives change. There is nothing that's more exciting than that. And let me give you the four part plan of God's plan right here in verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, look here, the first thing I want you to see the first part of God's plan is right there in verse 6. The Bible says, he that what? Goeth. Goeth. Folks, look here. The first part of God's plan is going. Can I have amen? The first part of God's plan is going. He said, he that goeth forth. Going forward. You know, the reason why we don't see soul winning in our churches today, because we're not going. We're not going. You see, the truth of the matter is, you got to get with it. Amen? You got to go where they are. You got to go where they are, folks. I'm telling you, you got to go out in the highways and the hedges. You got to compel those people to come. Amen? I mean, go right to their house. Go right into their homes. Go right into the jails. Go right to, I'm talking about right on the streets where they're at. I'm talking about at the bars. I'm talking about go where they're at, coming out of the bar and preach the gospel to them. Amen. Go where they're at and preach the gospel to them. Hey, look, I'm telling you, you have to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You got to go where they're at. See, the truth of the matter is though, that is the reason why we don't go forward. Because it's easier to do other things than go. Did you hear what I said? It's easier to do other things than go. Now, let me give you an illustration. He said, doubtless shall come again with rejoicing there. But he said, go. Before you're going to get to that, you got to go first. Now, let me get back up here where I can put it on the platform here and read my Bible. Look here. The truth of the matter is, it is easier to do almost anything else in the church. It's easier to serve on a board. Can I have amen? Hey, it's easier to serve on a board than go soul winning. Can I have amen? It's easier to be a deacon than it is to go soul winning. It's easy to sit in a chair and tell everybody else how to do it. How to run things. Now don't get quiet on me. I'll park right here. Amen. It's easier. You know what? Every deacon, I don't know who your deacons are in this church, but every deacon ought to be a soul winner. I said every deacon ought to be going out there where they're at. You say, well, no. Okay. What was Philip? What was Philip in the Bible? Can I have amen? Philip was a deacon. Can I have amen? Philip was a deacon, and he was out there. He was out there preaching the gospel. Amen. He was having revival, getting people saved and everything. Now, hey, don't look at me that way. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm just a delivery boy. Amen. You don't get mad at the mailman for bringing a bill to you. Amen. Amen. You probably do. Amen. I don't know. But I'm just a delivery boy. Hey, you need to be going too. Everybody needs to be going too. Hey, it's easier to give money to send others. It's easier to give money. Well, I'll just give money so they can have tracks and stuff. That's good. I'm glad you do that. I'm glad you give money to keep the buses going. Praise God. We got to have it. Amen. Thank God. And it's easier to send money to missionaries. And everything else. But you need to be a soul winner too. You need to be getting the gospel out too. Amen. You need to be going too. It's easier to give money to send others. Let me say this. It's easier to nitpick and grumble. I said it's easier to nitpick, sit around nitpick everything and everybody not doing right. Can I have amen? Than to get off your blessed shirts and go soul winning. Oh, you say, Brother Brian, I wish you wouldn't preach that way. Hey, I'm an evangelist. I blow in, blow up, and blow out. Amen. Can I have amen? Then I let the pastor fix it. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what. You know what? It seems you sit back and say, well, I tell you what, the preacher, you know, he shouldn't have done it that way, you know, and stuff like that. No, you wouldn't be doing that if you were out there soul winning. Amen. You wouldn't be criticizing if you out there pulling people out of hell and giving the gospel to us and everything, because you ain't got time, amen? You don't have time to grumble about what's going wrong. Well, I tell you what, preacher's not a Southern boy. He's not Southern. He, you are a Yankee, ain't you, brother? No. Where are you from? Oh, he's from West Virginia. He's a good boy. Amen. 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 Hey, I don't Yankee. Yeah, well, you dreaders, or no, whatever he is, he's a Yankee. Amen. Hey, he's Yankee. Amen. Hey, look at him, man. I mean, look, he didn't come from the other side of the tracks. Amen. Look at him. Amen. He's not one of us. Amen. No, sir. You don't need to criticize this old boy that loves God. Amen. Hey, man, he loves God and tears up there, buddy. And he's out soul winning Saturday with me, winning people to Christ. Hey, you know what you need to do? Just get out there and go with us. Amen. And go soul winning, buddy. You know what? When you, it's always easy to nitpick. It's always easy to criticize. Criticizing bus workers, criticizing bus kids, but there and everything. I remember years ago when I was bus director at Gospel Light, we run like 22 buses out there, 20 some buses out there. I was a bus director, and this lady, she hated the bus ministry. She hated these kids, you know. Of course, she didn't go where they were. She wasn't like that bus captain going to home and see that drunkard daddy. And on Sunday morning, they got to climb across a drunkard daddy in the middle of the floor to get those kids out of bed, get them ready for church and clean their faces and comb their hair and everything. That's why she didn't care about them. That's why she didn't care about them. Can I have amen? I tell you what, you go where they are, God's going to break your heart. Amen. And you're going to see they need the gospel. But this lady, she came out there, you know, and she was an elder lady, older lady, and she said, these kids are they're tearing our church apart. We need to get rid of them. And she's chewing me out, and I'm the bus director. And we had like 20 some buses, and I'm not kidding, preacher. While we were talking, that lady, she just chewing me out, and she said, I don't appreciate all this and stuff like that. And I'm not kidding. It was hot that day, and we had Cool Pops. We had them, and one of them kids threw a melted Cool Pop out the window, landed right in that lady's hair. Amen. And I looked at that kid and I said, you better never do that again. What's wrong with you? Amen. And she marched off and I just busted out loud and said, good job, buddy. Amen. Good job. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, you know why? Because I knew where that kid came from. Amen. And I was one out there sweating and knocking doors and trying to bring them into church. It is easy to sit around and nitpick and grumble when you're not soul winning. When you're not going where they are, amen. Buddy, you show me a church that's busy and they've got a bunch of people going out and everything. They're not going to sit around and nitpick everybody. They don't have time, amen. And they're going to be busy about God's business. I'm saying it's easier to be a part of the faction instead of get into the action. Amen. When a church begins to go, it begins to grow. I say when a church begins to go, it begins to grow. Years ago, I was preaching in Missouri, and I didn't say misery, but Missouri, amen. I was preaching in Missouri, and that night, I was preaching I believe I preached that message here last year on how to touch Jesus. How to touch Jesus. And I'm not kidding. While I was preaching, there was a pastor. There was only about 40 people. That church used to run 300-400 church. They used to run 300-400 church. I mean, a go get them, soul win them, go get them church. And they were sitting over there on the corner there. They were sitting on the corner. Or the pastor, no, he's sitting about the second row. And before I even finished my message, the pastor jumped up. The pastor jumped up. He slid, literally slid to the altar, wailing. I mean, just wailing, crying. Well, there was some men over there, and I said, man, could y'all come and pray with your pastor while I'm preaching? Just come pray with him. And some of the men came over there and started praying with him. Well, then the pastor got up while I'm preaching. He said, Brother Brian, could you stop just a minute? Could you stop? He said, I got a confession to make. Now, folks, I get worried when pastors got to make confessions, amen. But I thought, oh, no, he fell in sin or something. But he stood up, and this is what he said. He said, listen. He said, I came here 21 years ago and started this church. And he said, the very thing that that preacher's preaching on tonight is what I built my church on. Soul winning. Going where they are, knocking on doors, getting in their home and picking up broken people and bringing them into the church. He said, but let me tell you, he said, 7, 8 years now, he said, I have not won one person to Christ. I have not even witnessed to one person in 7 or 8 years. Now, he's telling his church this. He says, on Thursday night, soul winning, you know, I would show up there, and I tell many of you, I got to go to the hospital, visit somebody, but I would go home. He said, I wouldn't even visit. He said, I wouldn't even go out and talk to people. He said, and I'd just go home and wouldn't go visit. He said, I haven't visited or witnessed to nobody in 7 or 8 years. He said, but I want y'all to know, tears begin to stream down. See, he said, but I want y'all to know you've got a new preacher tonight. He said, I got my heart right with God, and the very things that preacher's preached on tonight is the very things I quit, but tonight I'm starting back. And he said, I'm going soul winning right now. And he said, I'm going to grab, and he reached, he said, I'm going back there. I'm going to grab me a handful of track. Anybody want to go soul winning with me can go. 15 people or more marched out the door. I had not even finished my sermon yet. I had not even finished my sermon yet. And they all marched out soul winning. Amen. And went soul and came back. They won like 20 some people to the Lord that night. They came back shouting and praising God. Let me tell you something. That church now is running 400 and 500. They're now looking to build a new auditorium. You know why? Because they went. They decided we're going to go. We're going to get back to going. 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 And when you get back to going, your church is going to grow again. Amen. You just got to go. That's what he said. He that goeth forth. Amen. You know, when Jesus told that Good Samaritan at the end of that story where he told the Good Samaritan, he said, now which these things thinketh thou was neighbor? And he talking about the Good Samaritan. And they said the man which the man that rescued him. And they said, that's right. He was Good Samaritan. You know what the next word he said? Go. Go. He said, go. That was the first thing. You said, well, I don't know how to do it. You'll learn. Can I have amen? You start going, you'll learn. Amen. You'll learn. I'm telling you what, I mean it. You start going, God will show you what to say. God will give you what to say. He'll equip you with what to say. Amen. You just start going. You'll be surprised how many people you can win to Christ. Amen. That God can use you. God can use you. All you got to do is go. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not much of a talker and stuff like that. Well, then give them a try. Amen. Well, I'm nervous about it. I'm scared about going. Well, then run up the door, put a track on, ring the doorbell, and run. Amen. Just get a track out there. Amen. Just get the gospel out there. Amen. And get the gospel, and God will use it. Amen. And then let me say this. Let me say this. Number two, the second part of God's plan is weeping. Weeping. Look what he said. He said, they that sow in what? Tears. Shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and what? Weepeth. Weepeth. Folks, when's the last time you wept over a soul? Look at me. When's the last? You know what? That's what's wrong in our churches today. We're dried. We're cold. And that results from cold-heartedness. Amen. And when's the last time you literally, wept? Because a sinner was going to hell. How about one of your loved ones? Amen. When's the last time it broke your heart that one of your loved ones going to die and go to hell? Amen. I don't know about you, but boy, I'll be witnessing to people sometimes and somebody will reject God right in front of me. They'll reject God right in front of me. And you know what it does to me? And all of a sudden, tears will start welling in my eyes. And I said, buddy, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I said, God loves you. Amen. Don't do that. Don't do it. And I can't stand it, buddy. I don't know about you, but when's the last time you wept? You wept because somebody was dying and going to hell. When's the last time that you came to an altar and said, oh, God, save my daddy. Oh, God, save my mama. Oh, God, save my children. Oh, God, do something, Lord, Lord. And I'm telling you, God sees those tears. Amen. When's the last time you wept? When's the last time it broke your heart when you were witnessing to somebody? Amen. Folks, I do it every week. Every week. And I'm not saying it bragging, but I do it every week. And it still gets me. It's still, tears still form my eyes when I get to talking to people about their soul. Amen. And going to hell. I'm telling you, a soul winner has a soft heart. He has weeping eyes. Amen. When you win people to the Lord. Years ago, I remember I was Larry Brown's. Y'all know Larry Brown from Iowa. I was his bus director there in Iowa, Washington, Iowa. And we went soul winning. We went soul winning on Thursday night. And knocked on the door. University of Iowa was right there in Iowa City. And a guy, young kid came to the door. A college kid. And when he opened the door, I looked, preacher, and there was Mormons sitting there. There were two Mormons sitting there having a study with this guy here. And so I started talking to him, you know, and I said, son, I said, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, and I had a buddy with me, and I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he said, oh, no, I don't know that. And I said, well, would you mind if I show you how you can know? He said, well, that's why these guys are here. And he pointed those Mormons. He said, that's why they're here. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, how long have they been coming trying to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven? He said, 2 months. I said, 2 months? They've been coming to your house trying to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven? I said, I can tell you in 2 minutes. He said, you can? I said, I sure can. He said, let me see it. And, buddy, I popped open. I pulled that concealed weapon out, amen, that New Testament, amen. I pulled that thing out of my pocket, buddy, and I popped that thing open, amen. And I started down that plan of salvation. So I said, first of all, you got to realize you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. That word righteous means perfect. I said, and the reason why we're not perfect, because of Romans 3:23. The Bible said, for all have sinned, amen, and come short of the glory of God. I said, do you realize you're a sinner? He said, yes, I do. I realize I'm a sinner. He said, I know I've done things wrong. I looked at them Mormons, amen, and I looked at them. I said, you guys realize you're sinners? They said, oh, yeah, we're sinners, amen. They said that. I said, now let me show you what the payment of that sin is. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. I said, you know what that word death means? And they said, well, the quit breathing. I said, that's exactly right. I said, but look over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. There's a second death. Amen. Bible says, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. That means there's two deaths you can die when you die. The first one is to quit breathing. The second one is to spend eternal separation from a holy God in a place called hell. So when the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, that means hell too. That means you would have to go to hell to pay for your sin. And all of a sudden that old boy looked at me and he said, well, I don't want to go to hell. I said, you want to go to hell, son? He said, no, I don't want to go to hell. I looked at them Mormons. I said, you guys want to go to hell when you die? They said, no, we don't want to go. They don't even believe in hell. They don't even believe in hell. These guys didn't even believe in hell. But they said, He said, no, we don't want to go neither. I said, guess, I said, you know what? I didn't want to go neither. But guess what? God didn't want you to go neither. Amen. I said in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He paid it. Amen. He paid that hell payment. He rose from the dead to show he had victory over death and hell. And buddy, all of a sudden, I got to thinking about what he did for me. Amen. I got to get full in tears to start. I couldn't take it, folks. I started weeping right there. I just lost control. I just lost control. And I said, oh my. I said, son, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I said, son, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. And about that time, I'll never forget that old boy. That boy, he said, he reached over and hugged me. He said, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And that old boy, I said, well, son, I know, but I said, it won't be all right if you die and go to hell. I said, but if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today and call on him and tell him you're a sinner and you're hell bound and you need him to get to heaven, he'll save you right now. He'll save you. And boy, right there, them both of them, I'm not kidding. That guy bowed his head. I looked, tears were streaming down his face. I looked at him over, his tears were streaming down their face. And all three of them guys got saved down there. All three of them got saved. Sunday morning, we pulled up there with a bus to pick them up. And here come that guy and two Mormons got on the church bus. They and when we got to church, I walked every one of them. I said, come on, follow me. I marched them to the front row, set them right on the front row. Them two Mormons sit up there with them tags on, amen, as Larry Brown tore loose preaching, amen. He was tore loose preaching away, amen. And then two of them guys, the young man that was going to college got baptized, and one of the Mormons got baptized. Those two Mormons went back to New Jersey. They were from New Jersey, and they came back. They wrote me a letter that they both had gotten in a Baptist church now, living for God. It's all because of tears. Tears. Them boys saw them tears, and they saw somebody cared. Amen? Where's your tears? Where's your tears tonight for souls? Amen? For souls. The Bible says Jesus wept. He wept. He wept. Amen. Hey, don't you, where's your tears tonight? I believe tonight, if you'll go weeping, and then look at the next part. Look at the next part. The third part of God's plan is what? Is bear and precious. The Bible says, look in verse 20, bear and precious seed. He that goeth forth weeping, bear and precious seed. You know what that means? Look here. You know what that means? That means if you go giving out the gospel, amen, giving out the gospel, giving out the seeds, just keep giving it out. Keep giving the gospel out. Amen. The barren precious seeds, the word of God. It's the word of God. And I believe the more you put out there, the more you're going to reap. Can I have amen? God always blesses a soul winning church. I said God always blesses a church that's getting his word out. And the more you get, and I told you last night, get it out everywhere. Hey, your tracks want to be where your underwear drawer is. Can I have amen? Your tracks want to be where your clothes are. Can I have amen? Hey, man, God put a track rack right here on your shirt. Can I have amen? Hey, ladies, God gave you a suitcase. I mean, a pocketbook to carry. Amen. Put your gospel tracts in. Folks, let me tell you something. You're accountable. You're being held accountable with the gospel. He said, for as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleased a man, but God which trieth our hearts. Can I have amen? Hey, you know what? God's allowed you to get the gospel out. God's allowed you to be put in trust with the God. God's trusting you. God's trusting you to what? Speak it. Speak it. Amen. Get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. You want to carry it? I told you last night, I know we were laughing about it, but it's true. I go in the bathroom, I'll see legs under there, somebody sitting on a stall. I mean, not on a stall, but on the throne. Amen. And I'll throw a tract in there. I say, here, read this when you get a chance, buddy. Amen. Read this. Folks, what are they going to do about it? Can I have amen? They ain't going to chase you, amen. I guarantee you. They ain't going to do nothing. And a lot of times folks like to read while they're sitting there. Can I have amen? I told, and I'm not kidding, there's no telling how many people going to walk up to me in heaven and say, I got saved on the throne. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm serious. I leave them everywhere, brother. Give them the cash, you know, cashiers, waitress. I win waitresses Christ all the time. All the time. Hey, last week, just a week ago, we were sitting at a restaurant, Cracker Barrel, in Terre Haute, Indiana. And a lady walked up and she, look, I do this all the time. I do this all the time. I woke up. And a lady will walk up to me, or waitress, and I'll say, look, we're getting ready to say the blessing. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Well, when I did that, all of a sudden that lady, I'm not kidding, she just busted out crying. Her name was Odessa. She said, preacher, I just found out I got cancer. Now, listen to this. Listen, that's why, boy, I'm getting ready to preach here. Now, hold on. That's why you stingy rascals leave a dollar tip or to be ashamed of yourself. Because here's a woman just found out she had cancer. Hey, just found out she had cancer and's got four kids, and her husband, as soon as he found out that she had cancer, he walked out on her. What a jerk. When I know what I did before my wife when she was dying with cancer. And I'm gonna tell you, and he sat there and I said, let me pray with you. And I took my hand and we prayed together right there at the table with the preacher and a bunch of folks sitting around, tears streaming. Hey, guess what? She got saved. I led her to Christ. Her heart was just open. Guess what? She came on Sunday and got baptized at that church. Amen. Hey folks, I'm telling you, they're out there everywhere. Can I have amen? Look, if soul winning don't work, the Holy Spirit don't work. What do you think the Holy Spirit's doing out there right now? Do you think he's just taking a vacation? No, sir, buddy. I can't tell you how many people I've won to Christ. And you know what they always, many of them will say, I've been thinking about this. Well, who told them? Who got them thinking about that? You think the devil did? Amen. You think the devil did? No, the Holy Spirit was telling them they need to be saved. Amen. They need more than what they got. Amen. They need some. I was at the church last year. I told this story, but I knocked on the door, led a lady to Christ. She said, I can't believe y'all, this just happened. She said, two nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night screaming. I had a dream I was in hell. Who do you think put that dream on her mind? Who you think put that dream on? I'll tell you who did. The Holy Spirit of God did. Amen. Hey, and she got so excited. She that night that she was screaming, she scared her husband to death. But 2 days later, we knock on their door. What's the chance that God was going to bring me all the way from North Carolina to lead them to Christ? Hey, what's the chances that Julian just got there the first day? First day Saturday. Guess who knocked on their door? He and I did. He and I did. Led him to Christ. He got slam dunked Sunday. Amen. At this church. Hey, I'm telling you, soul winning works. Amen. But the only way it's going to happen until you go, until you go, until you go, and go with tears, believe me, and giving out the word of God. Giving out the word of God. Hey, don't worry about the word of God will take care of itself. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation. All you got to do is give the gospel out. Amen. It'll take care of itself. And then last of all, let me say this tonight. Last of all, the last part is reaping. Can I have amen? You know, I believe tonight that that the great part of this plan is reaping. See, he said, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Now, look, that's a promise of God. Can I have amen? Folks, I'm telling you, you want to be a rejoicing church? I said, you want to be a rejoicing church? You want to be a happy church? Be a soul-winning church. Be a soul-winning church. You know why? Because there's nothing that's any more exciting. Amen? There's nothing any more exciting. Come on, brother. Come on. Get up there. He's 7 foot tall. Amen? Come on. Come on, little. Amen? All right. Look here. Look. You know what's exciting? Is to walk in that back door with one of your converts on Sunday morning that you won to the Lord, amen, and you bring him to church, amen, and then when it's time to invite you, you walk him down the aisle, amen, you walk him down the aisle, buddy, and buddy, he makes it public, he got saved, amen, he got saved, and then I let the preacher baptize him, amen, amen, and he gets baptized, you're going to be shouting, man. That's one of my, oh man, that's one of my converts. Amen. That's somebody led to the Lord. And you're going to be so excited. You're going to be, you know why I was excited Sunday? Not because I was preaching. Because I had somebody here. I had somebody here that I led to the Lord. Amen. I had somebody here. And by the way, I went and got him. I went and picked him up in my car. Did you know God gave y'all a vehicle more than to ride your carcass around in it? Can I have amen? Did you know you can use your car to bring people to church? Can I have amen? Did you know you can bring people to church? You can bring them to church in your car. Amen. And get people here. It's a rejoicing time when you lead somebody to Christ. You'd come back rejoicing. When I was pastoring in Michigan, I'd always pick on them. They picked on me. They said, where are you from? They'd always say that because way I talk up there. They said, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from the north. They said, no, you're not. I said, I'm North Carolina. Amen. And, I used to tell them, I said, you know what the difference between Southern people and Yankees is? I said, let me tell you what the difference between Southern people and Yankees. I said, Yankees are rude. I tell them this. I said, y'all rude. Y'all just straightforward. Y'all just say what you think. You don't care what anybody thinks about it. I said, Southern people will smile at you and shoot you at the same time. Amen. 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 Hey. But anyway, when I was pastoring up there, every Saturday, and Brother Caldwell was only 30 minutes from us there down at Muskegon, Michigan, and that's where we met at, but I was pastoring in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Every Saturday afternoon, this is what I would do. I'd get me hundreds of tracts, and I'd go on Division Street, where the old Mail Trotter Mission was. The old Mail Trotter Mission. And I'd go down there and on the roughest part of town. I'm talking about the roughest part of the street of the city was right there on Division Street. And I'd take my tracts and I'd go out there and I'd take them tracts, hundreds of tracts, and I'd just pass them out. Every Saturday afternoon, when I got done with my bus route, or visiting, or soul winning, whatever, I just go pass tracts out. I just go out there and just pass out hundreds of tracts. Well, one day I'm out there passing tracts out. I hadn't been pastored there long. And this guy, and there was drunks, and I'm telling you, rough people down there. I'm talking about rough people, drunkards and drugs and pimps and everything else, prostitutes, everything down there. And I was just passing out tracts. Because I knew God loved those people too. And I felt like they had a chance, deserve a chance to hear the gospel. And I knew God would bless my church if I was down there passing out tracts. And I just started, I'd go out there. Well, one day I was out there passing out tracts. All of a sudden, here come this guy staggering down the south. He said, hey! He said, I want to be saved! And he's kind of staggering, you know. And I thought, oh, yeah. Yeah, right. And he staggered up to him. He said, give me one of them. He said, I want to be saved. And he kept just going over and over. And I'm, you know, and I said, and so I said, here, buddy, take that. And when you sober up, read it. He said, no, I want to be saved now. And I thought, oh, my goodness. This guy don't want anything to do with this. He's drunk as a kook, you know. So finally I said, he was so belligerent and so loud that I finally said, you know what? He may not mean this, but I'm going to get him off my shoulders. Just pray with him. Amen. So I said, okay, listen up. And so I went right through it with him. And then he got to prayer. He prayed the prayer. I said, now listen, tomorrow morning, I said, I'm going to be by here. And y'all get out of the mission at 8 o'clock. I knew that. Y'all get out of mission at 8 o'clock. And I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to take you to church. You hear me? I said, meet me at the Goodwill store right there on Division Street. I said, I'm going to pick you up there at about 8:30 more. You be ready. He said, okay, preacher. And he said, I love you, preacher. I said, I love you too. Amen. And he staggered off. The next morning, I pulled by there, and guess what? He wasn't there, which I knew. I said, I knew that rascal didn't get it. I knew he didn't mean all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of doubts. Well, about 10 years passed, and I'll never forget as long as I live. I walked out on my platform that morning. I walked out on the platform. And when I did, I looked back about 3/4 way back to my left side in our auditorium. And there was a sharp-looking guy sitting there. I mean, he had a suit. That suit looked like a Philadelphia. He looked like a Philadelphia lawyer. He was so slick. And he had a beautiful wife and family with him. They were sitting there, had three beautiful little children sitting there with them. I thought, oh, my goodness, said this sharp-looking family, you know. And I thought, they must have just moved here or something. And they're coming, you know, don't join our church. But I didn't say anything. Well, then we recognized visitors, you know. We had time we recognized visitors. And that man raised his hand. And he said, preacher, can I talk to you just a minute? I said, can I say something? I said, sure, go ahead. I said, what is it? He said, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, no, I don't. He gave his name. I said, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, about 10 years ago, I staggered down Division Street. He said, I come staggering down Division Street. And he said, and you gave me a gospel tract. And he said, you prayed with me, and I got saved that day. And I still didn't recognize him. Because I lead, you know, don't tell how many hundreds of thousands of people I led Lord since then. And I said, I'm sorry, brother, but I don't recognize. He said, now, you were supposed to be at Goodwill the next morning and pick me up. And it clicked with me who he was. I said, I know. Now he's back in auditorium. I'm on the platform. And I said, you rascal, I remember you. Where were you at? I said, where were you at that morning? He said, wait a minute, preacher. Let me explain what happened. He said, that night I got arrested. He said, I got arrested. And I had charges down in Mississippi. He said, I had charges down in Mississippi. And they shipped me all the way back to Mississippi. And I was in jail about a year and a half. But he said, but the funny thing about it is, he said, I got to keep that gospel track. He said, they let me keep that gospel track. And I read it I'd read that track. He said, I started going to Bible studies in jail. And I started growing. And I started getting stronger in the Lord. He said, but then when I got out of jail, he said, I thought, I want to get in a church like that preacher had. So I turned your track over, and on the back, our track said, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, old King James, Bible-believing church. You know, on there, Emmanuel Baptist Church, name our church. And I had that on our track. So he said, I opened the, so what I did, I looked in, that's back when they had yellow pages, amen. He said, I opened the phone book, looked in the yellow pages, and then there was a church advertising, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, old King James, Bible-believing church. I said, that's exactly like the one I want to go to. He said, I called the preacher. I called the church. He said, they brought me to church. He said, I got baptized in that church. They baptized me. And then he said, not only that, he said, I went back to college and got my engineer license, finished my engineer license. And he said, I now make six figures. I got a good job making six figures. I was thanking God we hadn't taken an offering yet. Amen. And I was thanking God. And he said, and now he said, I met my wife. I met my sweetheart, my wife at my church. We got married. I have these three beautiful children God's given me. And he said, they're all in a Christian school now. He said, I'm also a deacon at my church now. And he said, I'm faithful to my church. And he said, I told my wife, I want to go find that preacher. I want to go find that preacher. And he said, I got that track out and I found the address and my wife and I took a week's vacation and we've traveled, me and my kids traveled back up here and said, preacher, I just wanted to come by and I wanted to come back and thank you. And he said, preacher, and he reached in his pocket and he poured out that old track. He pulled out that old track. He said, tears begin to stream. He said, preacher, there's the track right there. There's the track I got saved by, right? Buddy, I jumped off that platform, buddy. I ran back. He met me halfway down. We were hugging and dancing, amen. We were hugging and dancing, and the church gave us a standing ovation, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, we were rejoicing. We were rejoicing, amen. I'm telling you, buddy, if you'll go, and you'll just weep and you'll bear precious seed out there, you're going to rejoice, amen, and you're going to see your sheaves coming back. Preacher, I go all over the country now. I've been evangelism, I've been to ministry 42 years, but I've been a pastor, I've done it all, but been evangelist since my wife died for 5 years now. I've been evangelist. And I now go back to churches. People have gotten saved. And they come up and hug me. And they say, Brother Brian, we're still here. We're serving God. And we thank God that you knocked on our door and led us to the Lord and stuff. You talking about rejoicing? You talking about rejoicing? Amen. Folks, that's the kind of church you want to be. Amen. I'm telling you, God had a plan. He just said, go! Go! The first two letters of the gospel is go! Amen! Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel tonight. Boy, I beg you tonight, why don't you become that kind of church? Why don't you become that kind of church? Why don't you decide tonight we're going to be a church that goes? Amen! You say, well, I can't walk good, then hobble. I know, I got a bone spur on my heel right now, it hurts. But I tell you what, last week, over 100 degrees, I was out there popping doors, limping. Amen. If you can't leap, limp on for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just keep going. Just keep going. And you'll come back rejoicing. Amen. Honey, would you go to the piano? I want you to play that song again for the invitation. How, look, how in the world? How in the world are you going to ever reach a world you don't touch? Can I have amen? As long as you sit in your church and expect things, why don't you come tonight as my wife begins to play that song tonight?